Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Chinese meat processor Shanghu International Holdings Limited has agreed to purchase Smithfield Foods for about $4.72 billion. Both companies' boards have unanimously approved the transaction, which still needs approval from Smithfield's shareholders. Shareholders of Smithfield, the world's biggest pork producer, would receive $34 per share. That's a 31% premium to how the company's stock closed on Tuesday afternoon. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NASS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending May 26th. The numbers look like this. 86% of the corn crop is planted versus 71% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 90%. 54% of the corn crop has emerged versus 19% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 67%. 44% of soybeans are planted versus 24% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 61%. 14% of soybeans have emerged versus 3% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 30%. Winter wheat ratings look like this: 31% good to excellent, 27% fair, and 42% poor and very poor. That's up 1 percentage point from a week ago. The European Union will ease its focus on austerity as a way to solve its three-year debt crisis when it unveils country-specific economic policy recommendations today. EU officials have indicated the recommendations will call for continuing fiscal consolidation, but at a slower pace, instead of stressing the need for implementation of sweeping structural reforms, such as overhauling labor markets to make economies more competitive. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 15,324. It's down 84 points. The NASDAQ, 3468, down almost 21. And the S&P 500 is 1649, and it is down 11 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Rainy weather is expected to resume across the heart of the Midwest as we move forward through the next few days, and it looks like there's a chance for some better drying conditions to evolve over the weekend into early next week. First, though, we have to deal with a lot of rain, and that's going to be occurring from Kansas into Michigan and Ohio, including southeastern Iowa, over this next several-day period. The precipitation will occur in waves, and locally intense thunderstorms will be embedded in each wave, so there will be a potential for heavy rain and flooding. In general, 1 to 2 inch rains may occur over these next few days across some of that corridor, with local totals maybe getting over 3 inches. We will expect a second area of heavy rain to occur from Montana into Minnesota over this next several day period. And again, the potential for locally heavy rain is great, especially this time in central and eastern parts of Montana, an area that has been dry for an extended period of time, at least during the autumn and early most of the winter season. We are expecting to see the rains in the northwestern Corn Belt great enough to further delay planting, and field work will be on hold for a while. We see a 2 to 3 day period of dry weather in the northern U.S. plains and northwestern Corn Belt as we get into the very end of this weekend, more likely over the weekend. But more rain from a second storm system will likely evolve across the region as we move forward into early next week. That storm system could bring more rain across the heart of the Midwest next week, but there may be a little bit of a ridge of high pressure that builds across the lower eastern parts of the region, and that may help suppress some of the rain for a longer period of time. A lot of fingers are going to be crossed during this next full week, hoping that there will be a luck out of dry weather prevailing across the lower eastern Midwest so that late season field work can occur as well as possible. In the meantime, the rains in the northwestern Corn Belt and up into the northern plains and southern parts of Canada's prairies will continue too abundant, and delays in fieldwork will continue, possibly into the second week of June. The forecast temperatures across the Midwest over these next few days is still quite promising. We do expect to see a lot of 80-degree highs impacting the region on a periodic basis. The warmest weather will occur in a couple of ways. The first one's already underway, with 80-degree highs expected today from portions of Kansas through Iowa into southern Wisconsin and points eastward through all of the rest of the Midwest, in fact, for that matter, into the Atlantic coastal states. We'll expect the temperatures to stay warm in much of the same region on Thursday afternoon and even Friday. Then when we get into the weekend, cooler air will move from northwest to southeast across most of the remaining Midwest, and we'll expect to see temperatures coolest maybe on Sunday, when highs will be 60s and 70s with a few lower 80s in the south, and that'll be really Sunday and Monday. That's as cool as it gets. Those temperatures were really not going to be too far from normal. They will be slightly below average in some locations. Then next week we'll start warming things back up again from west to east across the Midwest ahead of the next storm system. Our low temperatures at night over these next several nights will likely be mostly in the 60s across a big part of the Midwest, but some 50-degree readings will occur in the far west and especially the northwest. And as we get involved with the coolest weather, we'll likely see some upper 40-degree readings developing as we move into the weekend, but mostly in the northwestern Corn Belt. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading in Kansas City. July wheat, 742 and a half down one. July wheat in Chicago is 696 up 2 1/4. July corn, 664 down 2 1/2. December, 554 and a quarter up 3 1/2. At 3 3/4 now at 54 3/4 now a half, bouncing around there. July beans are $15 now, $14.99 3/4 down 9 1/2. November are $12.83 1/4 down 4 3/4. July soybean meal, $4.38.60 down 3.70. July soybean oil at $49.32 is down 22. June live cattle, $121.12 1/2 up 37 1/2. August feeders, 145.60 up 12 1/2, and June lean hogs, 95.02 1/2 up 32 1/2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
Well, we got a weather rally going yesterday on the idea that soybeans were going to be behind in their planting. And that was indeed shown yesterday afternoon on the weekly report. But it was sort of known that it was going to be done, and now the market is struggling a little bit. And if you look at technicals, there's quite a bit of resistance right above this point.
Most assuredly. I think a couple of things. Yeah, the soybeans basically have been delayed as far as getting planting is concerned. But there's also discussion that maybe we're going to see some shift in acres. And the spread action, you know, as we've talked about over the last several weeks, has been a dominant force. And with the cancellation of about 3 cargoes of beans to China this morning, the market's enthusiasm to the upside has definitely been dented. And now the downside price risk, you know, is definitely starting to open up a little bit. One other side note was that one of the cargoes from South America that was supposedly destined for China actually got diverted and has basically been moved into the Gulf.
Oh, so that's an interesting development as well. So soybeans a little bit softer today, but you would think that going forward they might still have some more potential upside.
Well, I think if we got some demand on the crushing side of things, we talked about last week about the possibility of the crushers finding some additional meal demand domestically, that might spur a little bit of an upside bias. But now that we've seen $15 a couple, 3 times and not been able to stick it above there, I think realistically, like you said, the resistance is pretty much entrenched, and I'd say that it's probably going to be the proof is on the bull right now.
Well, let's turn our attention to the corn crop, where we still have 14% to put into the ground, wet ground to be exact, in many locations.
Yeah, I think the areas that still need to be planted, when you look at the progress numbers, Wisconsin's only 64% done, North Dakota's only 72% done, and surprisingly, Kentucky's only 74% done. I think the areas south of 70 and down in Kentucky could start to see a little bit of a shift from corn to beans in mentality, and I think some of the seed dealers are talking about that. But we think that the North Dakota and the Wisconsin guys are actually probably going to be looking at a prevent plant situation and maybe not go towards the beans so much, because the crop insurance for beans is not as profitable or doesn't have as much sustainability.
Very quickly, could you make a case for 95 million acres?
Yes, I think you could dial it 1.5 million off easy, and I think there's also talk that maybe it could be as much as 3.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Current tick in the marketplace: July wheat in Chicago at 696, up 2.25. July corn is 663, now 62.75, down 3.75. December at 554 is up 3. July soybeans, 1499, even, down 10.25. November is 1284, down 4. July soybean meal, 438.50, down 380. And July soybean oil at 49.28 is down 26. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.